In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the memory of the Holy Forefathers, all the Old Testament saints that came before the time of Christ and looked to his coming. But also today, as it happens, we celebrate the memory especially of the prophet Daniel and the Holy Three Youths. The prophet Daniel was an incredibly righteous man and a model for all of us to follow, and we see his character most fully on display in the story of the lion's den. And it's a story that most of us heard as children, and when you hear the story as children, you're just saying, lions, you know, wow, you know, and he got out alive. And there's a little bit more to the story than that. This story comes very close to the end of the prophet Daniel's life. He was probably close to 80 years old by this time. It was after he had prophesied the downfall of the Babylonian kingdom. As a matter of fact, that's the story of the handwriting on the wall where God wrote on the wall when Belshazzar had a blasphemous feast that in which he brought out the vessels from the temple of Jerusalem that the Babylonians had captured. And he told them that his kingdom would be divided between the Medes and the Persians. And that very night, his kingdom fell. His city was already under siege by this time, history tells us, and the Medes and the Persians actually diverted the Euphrates River and were able to go in under the city walls where the river had been and to take the city. And Belshazzar had made the prophet Daniel the third in the kingdom. Well, when the Medes and the Persians took over, they recognized Daniel's merit, and they kept him in a very high position. As a matter of fact, Darius the Mede divided the empire up amongst 120 satraps, and over those 120 satraps or governors, he established three presidents who would oversee them, and of these three, Daniel was the first, because we're told that Darius recognized in him an excellent spirit. And probably people told the Medes and the Persians about this prophecy that Daniel had given, and so they recognized that there was something special about this man. And so even though the entire kingdom went from one rule to another, the prophet Daniel maintained his very high position. But we're told that these various officials became jealous, and they plotted amongst themselves how would they bring Daniel down. And they couldn't find anything to accuse him. He wasn't corrupt. He wasn't taking bribes. He wasn't doing anything that would give the Persians or the Medes any occasion to accuse him. And so one of them said, "We shall not find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God," because they recognized that he was a man of faith. He was very devout. And they figured, well, let's turn that virtue into a weakness. And so they plotted and were told that they came before Darius, and they said, "O king, we want you to establish a rule that for the next month, no one can worship any god or make any sacrifices except to you." And the king, being flattered by all of his officials wanting to honor him in this way and not giving much thought to the implications that it might have, went ahead and signed it. And he did so knowing that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, that when the king wrote down a decree, that even he couldn't change it after it had gone into effect. And just as an aside, one thing about monarchy that a lot of us who've never lived under a monarchy don't realize is that we think of a king as being able to do whatever he wanted to do, but actually, even a king as powerful as the king of Persia was bound by custom and by his own law. He couldn't do whatever he wanted to do. Modern dictators, of course, aren't bound even by that, and so they go far beyond the kings of old in terms of the power that they usurp. Daniel was faced with a choice. What was he going to do? He had a custom of praying three times a day. We're told that when Daniel knew that the king had signed this writing, it says he went into his house and his windows being open in his upper chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. We're told that he prayed towards Jerusalem, which, just as another aside, the Jews, when they prayed, they would always pray facing the temple. And even though the temple at this time had been destroyed, he continued that practice of praying towards the temple. We as Christians pray towards the east because that's where the sun rises. And we're told in the Gospels that that's where Christ will appear when he returns. And so we are looking for the second coming of Christ when we pray in that direction. But he prayed regularly. He didn't seek out martyrdom. He didn't go trying to antagonize the king so that he could be persecuted or that he could be martyred. He continued to do what he had always done. Then we're told that the men assembled, and because they found Daniel had been praying just as he had done before. And we're told that they spake before the king concerning his decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petitions 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. So when it says that he labored to try to deliver Daniel, he was trying to find some loophole, some means, and he probably talked to a great many of advisors and legal professionals that could give him some way out, but he couldn't find any. He was bound by his own foolish law. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Now, when you read this, you'll notice a certain parallel between another time that a stone was set before a cave and it was sealed. And that's the burial of Christ. There's a great many parallels between what happens to Daniel in this story and the death and resurrection of Christ. But the signet was placed upon this seal because it made very clear that nobody could sneak in later on and deliver the prophet. Then it says, Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. We're told in the book of Daniel that Daniel was a man of fasting. Here we see that this king, who knew not the God of Israel, joined him in fasting. And like the myrrh-bearing women, he also ran early to the tomb. And then it says, And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God sent an angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in God. Not only had the king fasted, not only had Daniel fasted, but the lions themselves had fasted, their mouths having been shut by an angel of the Lord. And then we're told, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives. And they reached not the bottom of the den before the lions had the mastery of them and utterly broke to pieces all their bones. So these people didn't even make it to the floor of the den of the lions before they had already been mauled by these lions and eaten, and their bones were broken so that there wouldn't be anything left. If ever there was any doubt about these lions, maybe some friend of Daniel had fed them, that fact would remove that doubt. God was with Daniel and shut the mouths of the lions for a very simple reason, and that was because Daniel had been with God faithfully. He had served him. He had done what he was supposed to do when it was easy for him to have neglected it. He didn't just wait till a time of crisis to start praying. When we read about people in the Bible like Daniel, when we read the accounts of the martyrs, it's easy for us to imagine what would we do in that circumstances, in those circumstances, and probably we like to think that we would courageously stand for Christ. But right now, when you're not being persecuted, are you praying regularly? Do you keep your prayer rule? Are you being faithful to God now when it's not a time of persecution? Because if you're not standing firm for God now, when you aren't facing someone threatening to kill you, what makes you think that you're going to have the strength and the grace to be able to stand firm when you are facing that choice of life or death? Now is the time when we need to develop the spiritual muscles of prayer and fasting. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to emulate people like the prophet Daniel and all the saints and all the martyrs, so that when we are faced with that choice, like them, we will be able to stand firm and trust that God will deliver us and give us the grace to endure whatever it is that we have to face. Amen.